So have you ever given a gift that you just knew was the perfect gift? One that you had thought about, searched for, eagerly wrapped, tied a beautiful bow around, only to get a less than enthusiastic response from the recipient? It's an awful feeling, isn't it? There was a cartoon strip in the newspaper several years ago of a young man standing outside of his home, and he's saying, "I can't believe she rejected my gift. I spent days picking it out. I didn't just give her a gift, I gave her part of myself. How could she reject it like that?" And a voice from the sky replies, "I know what you mean." So, as the Christmas season draws to a close and we celebrate Epiphany, which is really Wednesday, by the way, so you have a few more days of Christmas, but we celebrate Epiphany Sunday today. What will we do with God's gift to us? Do we recognize it? Do we pack it away with the Christmas decorations? Now that Christmas is over, how do we keep honoring God's gift to us in our daily lives? Well, I think our gospel story for today has some answers for us. This whole story from Matthew's gospel is really a strange one if you think about it. First, there are these foreign men, star watchers, magicians, who receive a message from God about a new king. A new king for another country, not their own. God picked some pretty sketchy characters to share his son's birth announcement with. Then, after journeying for almost 2 years, the Magi are suddenly a little lost and decide to stop to ask for directions from the one person who is least likely to want to hear news of a king, Herod, the murderous, paranoid king in Jerusalem, who kills his own family to avoid any chance of being usurped from the throne. And when finally things are sorted out and they get directions, the Magi find Mary and Jesus, who they promptly present with the presents every toddler dreams of, hard metal and perfumes. How like our God, that the gift that he gave and the gift that he led others to share weren't what we would expect. It makes me wonder, how often have we missed out on God's gifts or even rejected them because they were different from what we expected? Sometimes I think we look for giant, gift-wrapped, bow-laden signs from God while we overlook the beautiful gifts that he has placed right in front of us. Earlier today, we heard from the prophet Isaiah an exhortation, "Lift up your eyes, look around." Isaiah gives a promise to a people who had been defeated, exiled, forced to pay homage to other kings. He gave them a vision of kings coming to pay homage to them, God's people. "Nations," he says, "shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." The people of Israel, during Isaiah's time and at the time of Jesus' birth, were oppressed. They were heartbroken and unable to see God at work. And Isaiah reminded them and reminds us that God is always with us, always giving presents and presence to God's people. A light has come. We simply have to lift our eyes and look around to see it. The Magi, the three kings as we know them, indeed came to Israel's light. And we are invited to do so as well. Well, you might say, he gave those wise men a star. If I had a brilliant star to follow, well, then I wouldn't have any trouble finding God either. I would recognize God's work too. But here's the thing. The Magi were star watchers by trade. That's how they earned their living. When God wanted to give them a message, God used the things with which they were most familiar, the stars in the heavens. So maybe our stars appear in our everyday lives, in our work, in our homes, in our favorite activities. Maybe we each have stars that are present all along, guiding us, calling us to truth, beckoning us to follow, moving us toward God. We have thankfully said goodbye to a year that was so hard. And I know that nothing magical happens with the turning of a calendar, but somehow a new beginning this year fills me with hope. Everything sad from last year won't just disappear. And I know that this new year, like every year, will have heartaches of its own. But my prayer for all of us is that we will be open to the new things that God is doing in our lives. The big, extraordinary things and the small, everyday things. In his book, Listening to Your Life, Frederick Buechner says this: I discovered that if you really keep your eye peeled to it and your ears open, if you really pay attention to it, even such a limited and limiting life as the one I was living on Rupert Mountain opened up onto extraordinary vistas. There is no event so commonplace but that God is present within it, always hitting me, always leaving you room to recognize him or not to recognize him, but all the more fascinatingly because of that, all the more compellingly and hauntingly. If I were called upon to state in a few words the essence of everything I was trying to say, both as a novelist and a preacher, it would be something like this. Listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery that it is. In the boredom and pain of it, no less than in the excitement and gladness, touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden part of it. Because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. It's a paragraph I reread each year at the turning of the calendar. It's an important reminder for us that God is always present in all of life, and we need to just open ourselves to seeing it. So this year, in the hopes that we can do that, we're revisiting a practice that I hope will become a tradition for us each year. As you came in today, you were invited to take a star from the offering plate. And I know it was a little strange to be taking things out of the plate rather than putting things in, but I think it's a good reminder that we receive gifts from God long before we're ever asked to give anything at all. So I want you to take the star you were given and look at the word on it. And if you didn't receive one, be sure that you get one on your way out today as well. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if you want to post a note in the comments or send me a message, I will be happy to send you a word, to pull a word for you and let you know what it is. And I'll also be posting a generator, a website where you can go and it will generate a word for you randomly as well. So, this word is a gift to you from the Spirit. I have prayed over each of these stars. And I believe that God has guided each of us to the word that we most need for this year. I encourage you not to trade your word if it makes you uncomfortable or if you're not sure how it applies. I'm going to be honest that I'm not sure the Spirit guided my choice. I gave that offering plate to Rick to hold for me to pick a word. And the word that I pulled out, and I'm pretty sure he must have tilted it toward me, is hush.
That's hard on a preacher.
It is hard on a preacher. But sometimes preachers are the ones who most need to practice stillness and hush. So I am eager to see what God will work in me this year as I reflect on that word. Keep your star where you'll see it all year long. This year, our stars are actually stickers. You can peel the white backing off if you choose to. I'm going to put mine on my computer because I'm on that computer a lot, and so I will see it every day. You may want to put it on a mirror, or on your water bottle, or in a corner of your car windshield, wherever it is that you will see and notice it and pay attention to it. See how God speaks to you through the gift of this word. I'd love for you to let me know what your word is, and we can think about that together this year. And during the course of the year, I hope we'll have times where we can share with each other what we're learning from our Star Words. I'm going to be sending out this week a reflection sheet that will help you think closely about your word as you begin the year with it. So consider how it might speak to your life in this new year. Maybe it can be a reminder that what you do with the light that has shined in your life matters. There are people in the world living in the shadows of darkness. So, as Isaiah challenges us, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has shone about you, has risen upon you. But take a warning from the wise men. Following a star can bring unexpected changes of direction. Following a star can bring unexpected changes in your life and even to our church. So remember that after the Magi followed the star to see the Christ child, they went home by a different route, changed by their experience. May we also be changed by God's gift to us. So if Magi and presents and lights, oh my, aren't enough excitement for you, today we come together to receive another gift, the gift of communion, in remembrance of God's greatest gift of love. I want to remind you about what John's Gospel tells us about the Last Supper. He describes the scene before the meal when the disciples were talking around the table, arguing over who was the number one disciple. And Jesus quietly got up without a word and began to wash their feet. What a gift to have the Messiah take the role of servant for you. Peter, like many of us, began at first to reject that gift. No, Lord, you shouldn't be doing that for me. And after Jesus had washed all their feet, even the feet of the one who would betray him, and the feet of those who would deny or desert him, he asked them to pass that gift along, the gift of service and love in his name. Our gifts are given to us to be appreciated and to be shared. As we prepare for communion now, let us pray that our hearts might be open to receiving and sharing God's love. You pray with me. Holy God, as the travelers with their treasures were overwhelmed with joy on finding Jesus, so we too are overwhelmed when we think about the depth of his love for us. We come before you with open hearts, confessing the times that we have rejected you or refused to follow your example, and grateful for the unending love that you give us despite our failures. So Jesus showed us just how loved we are to him by loving us and giving himself to us. So on the night when he gave himself up for us, as he sat at the table and broke bread with his friends, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Remember me each time you do this." This is the gift of Christ's body, broken for us. Take and eat. And after they had eaten, took the cup and said, "Remember me as you drink this, for this is my life poured out for you, the beginning of a new relationship with God. This is the gift of Christ's blood shed for us. Take and drink." When the disciples and Jesus had finished their meal, Scripture tells us they sang together before they went out to the garden. Today, Bill is going to sing for us, "As with gladness, men of old." May these words be our prayer too, that we might be led by God with our hearts committed to following the light of the world.